This morning on WCHL, many changes have taken place in the oversight of Title IX at Carolina.
It's been an incredibly deep learning curve to understand all the procedures and processes at the university.
Chapel Hill's mayor says it will be a year and a half until the town decides what to do with its trash.
The staff really wants this decision made. There are ongoing conversations with Orange County, with Carrboro, and with the city of Durham.
And with the real estate for parking getting smaller in Carrboro, the fight is growing larger. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carrboro traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, we'll talk about the Super Bowl. The young UNC women's basketball team couldn't rebound from its midweek loss and dropped its third ACC matchup yesterday to Miami. Plus, baseball season is just around the corner for Carolina. And
as I'm watching the game Saturday, I say to myself, we're so lucky that state sucks.
That's coming up this morning in our Jansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz. Begins now.
8:06 at WCHL. We have 56 degrees in Chapel Hill. That's about as warm as it's going to get today. We have a 90% chance of rain all day. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to tell you how this community is going to celebrate the Beatles' first appearance in America on the Ed Sullivan Show. It was this date, or Sunday's date, February 9th, 50 years ago. Our top story today, in his first month as UNC's new Title IX compliance coordinator, Howard Callum has taken on the challenge of heading up an expanding department charged with monitoring sexual harassment cases on campus. This coming at a time when the pressure is on UNC leaders to make changes and reform current policies due to past controversy involving the handling of sexual assault cases. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
It's been an incredibly deep learning curve to understand all the procedures and processes at the university and just get a sense of the culture here.
That's Callum. Sexual assault on college campuses is currently an important topic, not only in Chapel Hill, but across our state and even in Washington, D.C. President Barack Obama recently announced the creation of a national task force to combat sexual assault, particularly on college campuses. Prior to assuming the position at UNC in January, Callum worked as chief regional attorney of the District of Columbia Enforcement Office for the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. UNC's Title IX office is expanding in 2014 with Callum and the most recent hire, Hillary Delbridge, the new Title IX public communications specialist, coming on board. The Title IX office is in the process of filling two additional positions, another case investigator and a program coordinator to help with training.
And I have to say that it's quite unusual for a university to devote the level of resources to this issue, which is why I took the job. Most colleges will have a Title IX coordinator. They're required to do so by Title IX, but it's often somebody who's an assistant athletic coach, or they might be in the human resources department, and it's the second or third responsibility for them.
Since the spring of 2013, UNC's Title IX task force has been working to address student-on-student sexual misconduct. The 22-member task force is broadly based and includes students, faculty, and staff members who specialize in this area. Chair of the task force, Christy Hurt, served as interim Title IX coordinator and is also the director of the Carolina Women's Center. Callum, who has been to two task force meetings, said he is benefiting from the work that Hurt has already done. Callum said the task force is taking its time to develop a complaint process that is tailored to the needs and concerns of students rather than just to administration.
The goal is to come up with a policy that the community will buy into. And the way to do that is to have input from the various segments of the community in building the policy from the very start. I think all those have the building blocks, certainly, to develop a process here and change the culture in a way that could be very interesting and unique in the country.
Callum said that there has been frustration expressed on campus about the progress of the task force, with some members of the UNC community wanting to see the results of its work sooner. Callum explained that there are still issues that need to be addressed. Once the policy has been rewritten, it will be presented for campus community feedback and then will go before the administration for final review. Callum did not have an anticipated completion date for the work of the task force.
There are lots of pieces already here that are addressing the issue. My challenge is to knit them together into a comprehensive approach and help identify any gaps and areas where we can improve.
The task force is also trying to ensure compliance with the UNC system's statewide reforms. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
More news from the Carolina campus this morning. Last year, the North Carolina General Assembly voted to raise tuition for out-of-state UNC students by 12.3%. The increase is scheduled to take effect in the fall, and out-of-state students on campus say they are worried about it. Kayla Gibson has a story from Carolina Connection.
It's an average Friday afternoon. Junior Kendra Bunner stops by the Franklin Street Caribou Coffee, a favorite place of hers to get a hot drink, study, and hang out with friends. Benner says she loves the atmosphere of Chapel Hill and the pride she feels being a Tar Heel.
When you tell someone that you go to UNC, there's just this like general sense of like recognition and not just prestige, but love.
However, staying a Tar Heel could get harder next year. Benner's from Chicago. And like all out-of-state students, her tuition is scheduled to increase 12.3% next year. That's almost $3,500 more.
I understand that out-of-state students pay more, but I don't think such a disproportionate percentage-wise increase is fair.
Gustavo Armada is a sophomore from Miami. He says the increase will make the decision to stay at Carolina harder for out-of-state students.
Leaving home is a challenge in itself. So this just like, it just adds another obstacle.
The North Carolina legislature made the decision to increase out-of-state tuition. The decision bypassed the Board of Governors, which was an unusual move. The revenue from the increase will go to the state's general fund instead of directly to the university. Armada says that's unfair.
It's a blatant message, in my opinion, that they don't want as many out-of-state students at the school.
Jenna Robinson is from the Pope Center in Raleigh, which is a conservative group that studies higher education. She says the increase may be good for the university and the state.
If you look at the numbers in the right way, I think that out-of-state tuition is not covering all of the expenditures that UNC Chapel Hill is making on that student.
Robinson says costs not covered include student services, institutional services, and capital costs. In addition, she says that even with student increases, UNC is still low compared to other schools in the nation.
From the student's perspective, most of our schools are a pretty good deal.
Such a good deal that Kiplinger ranked UNC as the best value in public education in the nation for the 13th year in a row. Student Body Vice President Jacob Moore says even with the ranking, the tuition hikes will discourage out-of-state students from coming to UNC.
We're known for a great value of education, and I don't think that's by coincidence, but the more you raise tuition, the harder it is to consider a school that's more expensive and out of reach.
UNC predicts the higher tuition will lead to a 10% decrease in applicants and a 20% decrease in students who choose to enroll. UNC officials are asking the legislature to repeal the hikes. The legislature reconvenes in May, meaning a decision won't be made until then at the earliest. In Chapel Hill, I'm Kayla Gibson.
These UNC students do a great job on that show. Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine at the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. You can hear it every Saturday morning at 8:30 on WCHL during the academic year. And Chapel Hill Town Council has big choices to make in the next couple of years. This weekend, council members sat down to hash out some new policy goals that align with the town's comprehensive plan. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
The Chapel Hill Town Council met with the town's senior management team this weekend to prioritize policy goals based on the Chapel Hill 2020 comprehensive plan. Council members agreed on the need for more affordable housing, new youth initiatives, a sustainable funding model for Chapel Hill Transit, and a long-term solid waste solution. Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt said within 18 months, the council will be ready to decide what to do with the town's trash.
The staff really wants this decision made. There are ongoing conversations with Orange County, with Carrboro, and with the city of Durham about how we can cooperate. Now, maybe all those jurisdictions don't come together, but there's some secret match of jurisdictions that can come together to provide those solutions. Don't know what that's going to be yet.
Currently, the town pays to haul trash to Durham since the Orange County landfill has closed. But staffers say Chapel Hill should explore the possibility of building and operating its own waste transfer station on town-owned land. One of the biggest challenges facing the town in the years ahead is the need to replace or upgrade town facilities and infrastructure. Business Management Director Ken Penoyer laid out more than $100 million in capital needs to be financed over the next two decades, including a new police station, four new fire stations, and completion of the park's master plan.
We have a fairly significant wish list and needs list, mostly needs list, of projects that we need to accomplish within the next 20 years. So balancing that is a difficult challenge.
The council will consider planning for a $20 million bond referendum to go on the ballot in 2017. In addition, the council discussed the need for increased economic development, enhanced code enforcement, and a townwide stormwater master plan. The new council goals will guide the town manager as they craft next year's spending plan. Budget negotiations will begin later this spring. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
What to do about parking in downtown Carborough? That story coming up next. It's 8:15 at WCHL. Time to take a look at your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. First, the traffic brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Big games are right around the corner always, so order today from Dickie's and they'll have it ready for you. Whenever you come get it, choose from 8 juicy smoked meats, hickory smoked meats. Dickie's Barbecue Pit is right next to New Hope Commons in Durham. Now, with your morning traffic, WCHL, here he is, the guy who keeps an eye on it all the time. He sleeps with one eye open, in fact. Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. We are looking at just the usual suspects out there right now. NC 54 eastbound and westbound, minor to moderate delays between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40. 15501 southbound between the East Franklin Split and Estes Drive, seeing some delays. Heading westbound on Estes Drive between 15501 and NC 86, or Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, seeing minor to moderate delays, and Franklin Street from Estes Drive heading towards MA and Columbia, seeing some delays right now as well. Otherwise, things are moving smoothly. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Sleep with one eye open. I did it to myself this time. Now I got that song will be in my head all day long.
Well, now I will too. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks a lot. It's time now to take a look at your Chapel Hill Carborough weather. And it's brought to you by Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. Serving the best tasting fountain drinks in town. Made with 100% filtered water. Served at 34 degrees. Guaranteed to taste great. Cruiser's, good to go. 56 degrees. This morning, and a little wet out there. We've had a little light rain overnight, and it's supposed to continue pretty much all day. 90% chance of it. Our high today in the upper 50s, which means it's not really going to change. Temperatures are going to stay right where they are. Tonight, partly cloudy, and then becoming mostly cloudy after midnight. Overnight low in the low 30s. Tomorrow will rise only to the upper 30s. 70% chance of more rain and drizzle all day tomorrow. Now, tomorrow night, lows will stay right where they are in the upper 30s. 80% chance of rain, and then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy, rain and drizzle in the morning, chance of rain in the afternoon as well, but warmer again with the highs up in the low 60s, still an 80% chance of rain on Wednesday, so rather strange weather. Temperatures will go down and then up again, but that's the way it goes.
Wake up with Ron Stutz, and remember that we're your station for Carolina, uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
Carborough town officials met all day on Friday with local business people and other concerned citizens to find at least some short-term solutions to Carborough's public parking shortage. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
We all need parking. We all need to share.
That's Cliff Collins, owner of Cliff's Meat Market in Carborough for more than 40 years. Collins was one of several business owners that attended at least one of three parking summit sessions at the Century Center on Friday. The focus was on employee parking. After one session, Alderman Michelle Johnson said she heard a lot of citizens complain that the parking downtown is barely adequate for people working there. She said that's a potential turnoff to people who'd like to shop and dine there.
The biggest concern is if employees are taking up parking.
Nathan Million, manager of Carr Mill Mall, attended all three sessions. Million said he liked a lot of the ideas he heard Friday, including shared spaces, park and ride lots, and the use of shuttles. He also thinks the days of free parking in Carborough may be finished.
I think all the ideas are really good and viable. I think it's probably going to take a combination of all of them, but there's a cost involved in it. That's one of the reasons I said I don't see any other way around having to go to paid parking.
Economic and Community Development Director Annette Stone was a moderator at the summit. She said it may be time for the small town of Carborough to view parking more like the people in Raleigh and Durham see it.
Folks who routinely are used to parking at a deck somewhere downtown Raleigh and walking a block, several blocks to get to where they need to be. So it's just the growing pains of a vibrant downtown like we have.
Stone said the town will look over all of the suggestions presented on Friday and come up with a presentation soon for the Board of Aldermen. For more on parking in Carrboro, you can find this story at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
In other news around town this morning, Chapel Hill is adding a new parking lot downtown. On today, the town is opening the Courtyard parking lot located at 115 South Robertson Street near the west end of Franklin. Town staff say there will be 53 spaces available there at that new lot. There are about 1,200 available parking spaces in all of downtown Chapel Hill. So a new parking lot right behind the courtyard. Of course, I don't know what that means for employees at Vimala's Curry Blossom Cafe and others who will have to find some place to park now. But 53 more spaces for parking in downtown Chapel Hill. It is 8:20 at WCHL, 56 degrees in Chapel Hill, and time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Let's begin with the Super Bowl. The blowout Super Bowl made a return on Sunday. Seattle Seahawks 43, Denver Broncos 8. Can you believe it? Russell Wilson tossed a pair of touchdown passes. The Seahawks capitalized on a host of Broncos mistakes in a stunningly easy upset. 12 seconds into the game, on the first play from scrimmage, Seahawks scored on a safety. Miscommunication with Peyton Manning and the Denver center, and ball snapped over Manning's head, and Broncos recovered it in the end zone, but that was a safety. So they were already up 2-0 at that point. Then if Broncos fans hoped things would change in the second half, that wasn't going to happen, because 12 seconds into the second half, Seattle received the opening kickoff, and Percy Harvin crossed the goal line to cap an 87-yard kickoff return in the most lopsided Super Bowl in 21 years. The Seahawks breezed their first NFL championship since entering the league as a 2-12 expansion team back in 1976. It is the city of Seattle's first major sports championship since the old NBA Supersonics won it all in 1979. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, who of course played at North Carolina State and then Wisconsin, tossed a pair of touchdown passes in directing an efficient Seattle offense that scored 3 touchdowns directly off Denver mistakes. Seahawks scored touchdowns running and receiving, returning a kickoff, also with an interception return, as well as 2 field goals and a safety to start the game. Terrible day for Peyton Manning. He did not get good protection, and the Seattle defense was absolutely suffocating. NFC teams now have won 5 of the last 7 Super Bowls, and again, that final score, Seattle 43, Denver 8. Now, we're going to talk about Carolina basketball in just a moment here, but Carolina baseball is just around the corner, and we're starting our countdown to first pitch series by checking in with UNC coaching legend Mike Fox. WCHL's Matt Oakes has this report.
The Tar Heels lost a big chunk of their batting lineup following last season. UNC head coach Mike Fox says this year's offense remains a question mark.
You know, I think your offense is always kind of a work in progress, especially when you start, you know, some guys that haven't been in a college game before. We'll see how all that plays out. And we have more team speed than we did last year, but we probably have less power. We'll see how that plays out. And hopefully, I don't know that we'll be as good as we were last year offensively. But, you know, right now it's about getting on base, and that's the thing you got to teach these young guys, because all they care about is getting base hits.
The freshman recruits often come in thinking they need to swing at every pitch. Coach Fox says they may have got away with that in high school, but they will need to develop more patience over the plate in order to complete the transition into big-time ACC baseball.
You know, again, that's what they have to learn here, is, you know, the difference between a ball and a strike. You can't go up there and just swing like you can in high school. You know, they get hits in high school because, you know, the pitching is not at this level. But they learn real quickly in the fall that you can't do that and be successful here.
Coach Fox likes to stress defense. He says one of the early indicators for his team's 2014 success will be how the youthful infield plays.
That's going to be something to watch for our team early in the season, is how well we play defense, especially on the infield.
Coach Fox says the weekend pitching rotation is likely locked in to some combination of Trent Thornton, Benton Moss, and a fresh freshman face in Jack Girardi.
That's our 3. You know, it's a junior, sophomore, freshman, just like we sort of line up. So next year they're senior, junior, sophomores. Not that we're looking ahead, but yeah, that's I think who's going to be that 4th and 5th guy is probably the biggest question mark.
Thornton recorded an impressive opening campaign in Chapel Hill a year ago, but Coach Fox says he must be wary of the sophomore slump. He says it gets tougher in the second season as opposing teams get used to the way the ball flies over the plate. Many of the Tar Heel players voiced surprise over Carolina's number 17 preseason ranking. They thought it should be higher, but Coach Fox says the only rankings that matter are the ones that come at the end of the season.
I've seen one where we're 17. That's perfectly fine with me. If it was up to me, we'd be 37. It's fine. They're preseason. So I guess that's good that they're disappointed because I want them to think they're, you know, that we're better than that. But, you know, the only rankings that matter are about 5 months from now. You guys, y'all know that.
The Tar Heels will open their season February 14th at home against the College of Charleston. Matt Oaks, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
All right, we're going to talk a little Carolina basketball with Barry Jacobs, ACC Sports Journal author, Mr. Everything. And, Barry, first of all, before we talk about the round ball, what did you think of the Super Bowl last night?
Well, I enjoyed it from the perspective of somebody who thought that Seattle would win and likes to see defense predominate. We have so much focus on scoring in the NFL and in other sports that it was great to see an affirmation of the fact that defense wins championships.
Yeah, that's for sure. Boy, it did last night. Carolina basketball. Carolina women lost a really tough one yesterday, and they lost to Miami 83-80, a couple of consecutive losses for the Tar Heel women. But let's talk about the men on Saturday against North Carolina State. You and I talked about it before the game. This game didn't exactly work out the way that I thought it would. How about you?
Well, only in the sense that North Carolina won. But not in the sense that we were treated to a scintillating performance of high-level, high-emotion college basketball between two arch-rival teams. It was more of a, okay, can we get through this afternoon without making more mistakes than the other guy?
Yeah. Well, as Art Chansky said, and you hear it in just a moment here, he says North Carolina State was really bad, but there were some good flashes for Carolina on Saturday as well.
Oh, absolutely. I thought they were, you know, North Carolina, for one thing, it won. When you win, you usually have to play at least pretty well. And in fact, North Carolina was aggressive from the start, and NC State didn't respond when North Carolina ran off to a quick lead. There was some good play, especially by the Carolina perimeter. But again, one thing that's been interesting to me, and I talked to Clemson coach Brad Brynell about this a couple of days after they visited Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina intimidates some teams around the basket. It's not so easy to score against that team as it was maybe earlier in the year. And even last year toward the end when Roy Williams had to go to the small lineup, you know, we forget this impression that it's tough to get to the basket against the Tar Heels. But we saw that, and I think it takes teams aback a little bit. So NC State was knocked on its heels, never really came back. When it mounted a little bit of a run, North Carolina kept its composure, kept doing more or less what Roy Williams wanted it to do.
Well, when James Michael McAdoo is playing aggressively, as he has been recently, they're awfully tough to beat, and now we just have to do a better job of hitting those shots at close range.
Right, and Leslie McDonald was shooting well from the perimeter. When you have two guys, because Marcus Page is going to make threes, that are going to be able to hit outside, and it creates more operating room inside.
Yeah.
The thing that I think other teams are going to try and do in a close game is they're going to foul James Michael McAdoo until he can make his free throws, and
yeah,
he didn't do that again. The team as a whole did, which was a tremendous improvement and a notable achievement, which Roy Williams referred to in his post-game's remarks, but McAdoo is still a weak link in that regard, and if you're playing inside and you're leading the team in free throw attempts,
mm-hmm,
when it comes to the end of a game, they're going to come looking for you.
Exactly. Well, hey, Barry, always a pleasure to get your take on things, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Look forward to it, Ron.
Barry Jacobs on Carolina Basketball, WCHL. It is 8:28. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
As I'm watching the game Saturday, I say to myself, we're so lucky that State sucks. This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. The Tar Heels won their third straight by continuing their dominance of NC State in the Roy Williams era, 20 of 22, I think. But reaching the 500 mark in the ACC after a 1-4 start wasn't pretty. Fortunately, the Wolfpack was pretty ugly, shooting 25% in the first half while missing 6 out of 7 from the line and 5 out of 7 from the arc. Somehow, Carolina turned a 17-point lead at the break into 22 with 6 minutes left. State got hot at the end, making the 84-70 loss closer than it really was. The Pack is talented players for sure, but one of Carolina's best defensive halves of the season made State look awful. It's a good matchup for the Heels because both teams have six-foot point guards. And State's Anthony Cat Barber had his first three drives to the basket blocked by the Tar Heel big men. T.J. Warren, the ACC's leading scorer, improved his 18-point average with 21, but most of them were after the outcome had been assured. It was a good and bad game for the home team, with James Michael McAdoo's double-double and Leslie McDonald's 20 points, plus banging State on the boards by 16 with 10 more offensive rebounds. But the bad news is, while Carolina is going to the basket more aggressively, the Heels are still pretty weak with the ball. How many shots rolled off the rim because they just couldn't finish the play? Against opponents with better guys in the paint, that will be fatal. And they had a terrible day dunking the ball. Their attempts to throw alley-oops were more like alley-oops, as either the receiver missed the slam or the ball went flying out of bounds. This is how the day went. They missed dunks on three straight possessions, but still got 6 points out of them from offensive rebounds or free throws. With all the publicity about who can and can't read these days, the Wolfpack proved bad listeners. With the ball and 33 seconds left in the first half, Coach Mark Gottfried held up one finger and yelled, "One shot." State fired away and missed, but got the offensive rebound as Gottfried yelled again, "One shot." The Pack shot again and missed again, and this time Carolina came away with the ball. After a timeout, when Roar drew up a last play, Marcus Page charged, and no one scored. That kind of day and that kind of season. Win them any way you can and move on. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Attention, Carolina fans. Fitch Lumber and Hardware is a whole more than just wood and nuts and bolts. Whether you're building a dream home, adding on, or just maintaining what you've got, we can help lead you in the right direction. Doors, windows, siding, roofing, paint, you name it, we can help you with it. And don't forget about our key and lock services and our custom millwork shop. So stop by Fitch Lumber and Hardware in downtown Carrboro or check us out online at fitchlumber.com. Go Tar Heels!
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
My name is Jeff Kennedy. I have been practicing dentistry in Chapel Hill since 1984. And one of the dentists at the Kennedy Dental Group in our office were thinking about what is unique and where our philosophy falls. And we came up with the term of practical dentistry. That's what we feel like we try to practice each day. It's based on the notion that we want all of our patients first and foremost to be healthy and then to keep them healthy. People bring all kinds of issues, but frequently they're nervous or they're distracted. Sometimes they're in pain and they really need us to hear their concerns. It's not always what's obvious on a technical level to a dentist, but maybe what the patient is saying or what's even spoken between the lines that we need to hear. And in patients, actually, we feel like these folks are our friends and we do our best to put them at ease. We offer oral conscious sedation for anxious patients, and it really helps to kind of get them over that fear, maybe get them healthy again. Right now we're up on the west end of Franklin Street, but we knew that there was a change in store, and when the old WCHL building was on the market, just felt like it was meant to be. It's directly across the street from Eastgate Shopping Center. They can look us up at kennedydentalgroup.com. They can call our office number at 919-967-9291.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insights.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Hair Expressions. It's half off. Hair care services at the salon on West Rosemary Street. Get highlights, a shampoo, and style for only $25, or a shampoo, cut, and style for only $20. And spend only $15 for a men's shampoo, cut, and style. Carol Spangler has been creating hairstyles for over 17 years and says she keeps caring until the client says it's right. It's half off from Hair Expressions. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you by WCHL Championship Sports. Being part of the action tomorrow night, North Carolina's men's basketball team will be right back into action hosting Maryland in the Smith Center. Tip time scheduled for 7 o'clock. Our coverage will start at 5:30 with countdown to tip-off, Aaron Keck. Don't forget, Tar Heels and Terrapins coming up on WCHL. As far as the weather is concerned, it's going to be rainy all day. 90% chance of rain. Showers. High today in the upper 50s. We're there right now, 56 degrees and wet. Temperatures are going to hold steady. Tonight, It will be cloudy with the lows all the way down to the low 30s, and tomorrow's high only in the upper 30s. We'll have a 70% chance of rain all day tomorrow.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
834 at WCHL, I'm Rod Stutz. In his first month as UNC's new Title IX compliance coordinator, Howard Callum has taken on the challenge of heading up an expanding department charged with monitoring sexual harassment cases on the UNC campus. This coming at a time when the pressure is on Carolina leaders to make changes and reform current policies due to past controversies involving the handling of sexual assault cases by the university. WCHL's Rachel Nash has the story.
It's been an incredibly steep learning curve to understand all the procedures and processes at the university and just get a sense of the culture here.
That's Callum. Sexual assault on college campuses is currently an important topic, not only in Chapel Hill, but across our state and even in Washington, D.C. President Barack Obama recently announced the creation of a national task force to combat sexual assault, particularly on college campuses. Prior to assuming the position at UNC in January, Callum worked as chief regional attorney of the District of Columbia Enforcement Office for the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. UNC's Title IX office is expanding in 2014 with Callum and the most recent hire, Hillary Delbridge, the new Title IX public communications specialist, coming on board. The Title IX office is in the process of filling two additional positions, another case investigator and a program coordinator to help with training.
And I have to say that it's quite unusual for a university to devote the level of resources to this issue, which is why I took the job. Most colleges will have a Title IX coordinator. They're required to do so by Title IX, but it's often somebody who's an assistant athletic coach, or they might be in the human resources department, and it's the second or third responsibility for them.
Since the spring of 2013, UNC's Title IX task force has been working to address student-on-student sexual misconduct. The 22-member task force is broadly based and includes students, faculty, and staff members who specialize in this area. Chair of the task force, Christy Hurt, served as interim Title IX coordinator and is also the director of the Carolina Women's Center. Callum, who has been to two task force meetings, said he is benefiting from the work that Hurt has already done. Callum said the task force is taking its time to develop a complaint process that is tailored to the needs and concerns of students rather than just to administration.
The goal is to come up with a policy that the community will buy into. And the way to do that is to have input from the various segments of the community in building the policy from the very start. I think all those have the building blocks, certainly, to develop a process here and change the culture in a way that could be very interesting and unique in the country.
Callum said that there has been frustration expressed on campus about the progress of the task force, with some members of the UNC community wanting to see the results of its work sooner. Callum explained that there are still issues that need to be addressed. Once the policy has been rewritten, it will be presented for campus community feedback and then will go before the administration for final review. Callum did not have an anticipated completion date for the work of the task force.
There are lots of pieces already here that are addressing the issue. My challenge is to knit them together into a comprehensive approach and help identify any gaps and areas where we can improve.
The task force is also trying to ensure compliance with the UNC system's statewide reforms. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
838 at WCHL. Wherever you go today, people are going to be talking about the Super Bowl. And it was certainly watched by so many people, but so many people were disappointed with the way it went. Now, if you're not a football fan, here's basically all you need to know about that game if you want to sound like you're plugged in today. If somebody comes up to you and say, hey, how about that Super Bowl? Well, basically, the Seahawks blew out Denver 43-8. Wasn't much of a game from the opening snap of the first play from scrimmage. Seahawks won 43-8. A lot of it because the Broncos just couldn't do anything right, partly because of their own mistakes, and partly because the Seahawks defense was so good Seahawks took advantage of the Broncos' mistakes, and their defense shut down Peyton Manning and the vaunted passing attack of Denver for the most part. And they scored just about every way possible. So it was just kind of a blowout. 43-8, Seattle over Denver. A lot of people watched the Super Bowl for the commercials. There were some good ones. Not as many silly ones or sexy ones as in the past. And I think there was a lot of, you know, emotional heartstring tugging going on last night. And there were some pretty thoughtful commercials last night. It was pretty good. And halftime show, Bruno Mars was fantastic. I mean, he did a great job. And I like the Chili Peppers, but come on, guys, put your shirts on. You know, I don't get that. I mean, they do that a lot, you know, but it had to be cold for them last night. So at any rate, it was a pretty good halftime show. And a lot of people got tuned in to Bruno Mars probably for the first time. He really is kind of a throwback. He got lots of things he did last night, the singing and the dancing and everything else. You know, he owes to, you know, performers like James Brown and a lot of others that came before him. So he's really good, and it was a good show. And as far as Super Bowls are concerned, it was not a very good game, but a big game and a great game if you happen to be a Seahawks fan. 840 at WCHL. Coming up next, Ellie Kinnaird has today's commentary.
Elmo's Diner is committed to providing the very best food and service in a warm, friendly, clean setting. It is our responsibility to treat our customers and coworkers with respect and to conduct ourselves in a courteous and professional manner at all times. It's not our goal to match industry standards. Our goal is to set the standard and to become the model for others. Like a true diner, we serve homemade food and breakfast all the time. We like to think we've got a little bit of everything for everybody. When life demands more than just breakfast, come back to see us at Elmo's Diner in Carmel Mall.
This is Stephen Lair with Home Instead Senior Care. It seems the temperatures have finally dropped for good, and with those lows come high risks for the elderly. As people age, their skin becomes thinner and their body's less able to sense changes in body temperature. In short, seniors get cold more quickly without realizing it, which puts them in danger of hypothermia. Take a moment to check in with a senior in your life to make sure that they're properly equipped for the winter months ahead. Coats, hats, and blankets could be just the thing to save a senior's life this winter. For more information, go to homeinstead.com, where to us, it's personal.
If you're over 60 and young at heart, you're looking for more than just a place to live out your years. You're looking for the Cedars of Chapel Hill. Our unique community in Metamot offers you all the independence and financial benefits of owning your own home without all the hassles, so you can pursue other goals and also enjoy the peace of mind of having a continuing health care plan in place. Make your next chapter in life your best chapter. Call us to learn more about the Cedars. Life has been good to you. At the Cedars, it gets even better.
Our lovely community is not immune to domestic violence. On average, 4 domestic violence victims call the Sheriff's Department every night in Orange County. The Beacon program invites the community to join them for the 9th annual Silent No More auction on February 6th at 5:30 at the Carolina Club. Call 919-697-9183 for more information or visit their website, beaconsilentauction.com. You can help fight domestic violence through being advocates, volunteers, and financial supporters. Purchase a ticket for $55 in advance or $60 at the door.
This is Roy Williams, and thanks, Ron Stutz. You've done a great job of waking everybody up in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. After you wake them up, you've probably put them to sleep again, but congratulations.
Thank you, Roy. It is 842 at WCHL. And one big thing that's happening later on in the week, actually the beginning of next week, on Sunday, February 9th, that will be the 50th anniversary of when the Beatles made their first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. There is a big concert coming up on Sunday night. I am really proud to be there and be a part of it. I'll be the MC, and there will be so many local musicians there paying tribute to the Beatles through their music. That will happen at Cat's Cradle next Sunday night. It's also a fundraiser. We'll have more details coming up for you later on in the week. We'll have some of those musicians in here to talk about it. And I don't know about you, but the Beatles had a profound effect on my life. And I know they have so many people, but that will be a big celebration. A lot of celebrations going on at different places all over the country, but the Chapel Hill Carrboro celebration will be going on at Cat's Cradle in Carrboro. I hope you will make your plans to be there next Sunday night. And again, more details coming on Wednesday morning. We'll tell you all about it. You can get your tickets and go and be a part of something really special. 843 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the Commentators.
This is Ellie Kinnaird. I have been critical of Governor Pat McCrory, and rightly so. But for this one, he got it right and deserves great credit. After Christmas, Governor McCrory pardoned two men for crimes they committed decades ago. The men had served their sentence and returned to their community, where they became model citizens. Now the stain of their error and conviction is removed, and they and their family can feel the relief of claiming the productive lives they have lived since. But not for just these two. There are thousands more who need pardons to prove the value of their good lives since they've repaid society for their errors. I've had two cases myself which exemplify these situations. One was a Navy man, like one of those pardoned, who had an exemplary career afterwards, but was limited in how far he could go, including his Iraq assignment, where he was prohibited from going because of his record. Another has worked for 20 years in a job in Florida, but can't move to a higher level in his job because the certifying board won't release him from parole for his misdemeanor committed 26 years ago. With so little, the governor could change the lives of these hundreds, maybe thousands of people and their families. The hidden tragedy of our society is a number of people who committed a stupid crime when they were young, paid their debt, restitution, sentencing, probation, and have lived contributing lives since then, but are unable to get a decent job or move forward in their employment. Please, Governor McCrory, do the right thing and grant them a pardon. This is Ellie Kinnaird.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Revel in the dazzling orchestration of Rimsky-Korsakov's Capriccio Espanol, performed by the North Carolina Symphony, this Friday at noon at Raleigh's Maimande Concert Hall, and this Sunday at 7:30 at Chapel Hill's Memorial Hall. Enjoy the powerful concerto for double bass from Koussevitzky and dramatic selections by Tchaikovsky. Don't miss Korsakov's Capriccio Espanol with the North Carolina Symphony, directed by William Henry Curry, this Friday at noon at Raleigh's Maimande Concert Hall, and this Sunday at 7:30 at Chapel Hill's Memorial Hall. Get your tickets now. Call 919-733-2750, also at ncsymphony.org.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do boxed breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
Time again for traffic and weather together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best tasting fountain drinks in town. Made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees with that great chewy ice. Guaranteed to taste great. And you know what? They're only 79 cents, no matter how large. Cruisers, good to go. Not much problem with traffic this morning. Some of the usual delays out on I-40 and certainly around the school zones, but admittedly, not as bad as it normally is this morning in rush hour. Everything moving along okay. Just be careful out there because the roads might be a little bit slick, and we're expecting light rain pretty much all day. But otherwise, everything is okay. If you spot anything during the day that's of significance, please get in touch with us, 919-967-8363. That is our newsroom. Talk to Rand Northam or any of the folks there. You can also tweet us at WCHL, but whatever you do, do it safely. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. What a concept. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Well, it's going to be a rainy day, the proverbial rainy day. It is 56 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Probably not going to get any warmer. Temps are going to stay about where they are. 90% chance of rain all day. Tonight, we're looking at a big chance of rain continuing. Mostly cloudy, low in the low 30s. Tomorrow, a 70% chance of rain. Much cooler temperatures. Highs tomorrow, about 20 degrees lower in the upper 30s. And during all that, we'll have rain and drizzle. And then tomorrow night, it won't get really all that cold. Lows staying in the upper 30s. 80% chance of rain, maybe just drizzle. Then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy, rain and drizzle in the morning. A chance of rain in the afternoon, too. Still 80%. Not as cool, though, with the highs jumping back up to the low 60s. So go figure. Can't quite figure out this weather as far as the temperatures are concerned, but that's what we have facing us here in the next couple of days. WCHL. Good morning. It is 8:50. Coming up, today is WCHL Hometown Hero in just a few minutes.
How much should a good kitchen cost? Hi, I'm Bill Cederberg of Cederberg Kitchens and Additions. Since 1986, we've been helping Chapel Hillians fix up their kitchens, baths, basements, and everything in between, turning your dream into reality without busting your budget. We're an Angie's List Super Service Award winner 3 years running with 3 decades of repeat customers. Why tackle remodeling yourself? Let Cederberg Kitchens and Additions guide you through the whole process. Find us on Facebook and visit us at CederbergKitchens.com. Cederberg Kitchens and Additions, our team, your home.
At Five Guys, they're in the business to sell quality burgers, period. Nothing beats Five Guys' hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all of 15 free toppings. Burgers not your thing? Enjoy Five Guys' grilled kosher beef hot dogs topped off with all the same great toppings. And who can resist Five Guys' fresh-cut Idaho fries cooked in trans-fat and cholesterol-free peanut oil? Stop by the new location at Meadowmont Village to see what all the buzz is about.
Listen up, Carolina fans. Go for the slam dunk this season into Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Don't foul out attempting the never-ending home projects. Whether you're an experienced contractor or a novice do-it-yourselfer, get the jobs done right the first time with the guidance of our knowledgeable staff with decades of experience passed down from generation to generation. Get the local home court advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carborough. Call us at 919-942-3153 or online at fitchlumber.com. Go Heels!
Tar Heel fans, come meet Lenny Rosenbluth, star of the 57 championship team, and announcer Woody Durham at the Carolina Inn before the UNC-Duke matchup on Wednesday, February 12th, 6 p.m. Lenny and Woody will share stories, will enjoy food and drinks before heading to the Dean Dome, or watch the game with us at the Carolina Inn Bar. This charity fundraiser is hosted by North Carolina Hillel. Tickets and more info at nchillel.org/UNCpregame. Thanks to WCHL for sponsoring this message.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM. Our website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen from anywhere in the world with instantly live streaming. You can always start your day with Ron Stutz on 97.9 FM. WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Coming up on 8:53 at WCHL, we've talked a lot about the Super Bowl this morning and a lot about Carolina's win over North Carolina State on Saturday, but let me just remind you, the Carolina women's basketball team had a tough loss yesterday. Number 6 Carolina women could not bounce back from their loss to Syracuse, dropping their third ACC meeting 83-80 yesterday to Miami. WCHL's Rand Northam takes a look back at the game and the unfortunate result.
In the early minutes, the recent loss looked to have carried over into yesterday's matchup. The Hurricanes led by 19 with 6:22 to play in the first half. However, the Tar Heels went on a 10-0 run in the final 4 minutes, 1 second of the first, to bring the game back to single digits. Miami took the 42-36 lead into the locker room. Carolina continued that run in the second half. The Heels went on a 9-2 run out of the break until the Canes halted the streak, tying the game at 45 with a free throw. It remained close until the final minutes. Miami pulled away again with 28 seconds to play, 80-73. Scrappy defense kept Carolina in it in the final half minute, with the Heels fighting for loose balls and winning the rebounding battle. The Hurricanes hit their free throws down the stretch, though, and took the 83-80 win. Miami shot 20 points better than Carolina at 57% from the field. It also hit 82% of its foul shots, compared to 52% from the stripe by UNC. With the loss, North Carolina fell to 17-6, 5-3 in the ACC. Miami improved to 13-10, 5-5. The Tar Heel women hit the road this week to face Georgia Tech on Thursday, with the Duke road game just around the corner a week from today. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Another season cranking up for Carolina Athletics. Carolina baseball just around the corner. And we have a story on our website, chapelbro.com, by Matt Oakes, along with the comments of Carolina coach Mike Fox, talking about the brand new season, brand new team. But we hope that, as usual, the Tar Heels will make it all the way to the College World Series, but a lot of work to be done between now and the end of the season for that. It is a totally different team, for sure. It's 8:55 at WCHL. You remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? What is the word? How do you spell it? And what does it mean? Call me right now, 919-929-WCHL. If you can answer those questions, I'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers if you're the first correct caller. The word of the day, always brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Again, your number right now, the word of the day from Wayne Pond, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Lori Clark is today's WCHL hometown hero. Lori does so many great things in this community, and she's one of those people who always smiles every time you see her. Lori works with the Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program, a part of the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools system. She was nominated for special recognition today by Greg Meyer.
For our program, Lori works with our high school students. She runs our Youth Leadership Institute, and she helps our high school students prepare for and get into college.
Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly, and leave the rest to God. That's Lori Clark's philosophy on life.
It's impossible to separate Lori's work at Blue Ribbon from her life in the community. She is always helping students and families wherever she is, whenever she's out and about. On Martin Luther King Day, the Chapel Hill Carborough branch of the NAACP awarded Lori Clark the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Service Award for the work that she does with Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate, as well as the volunteer work that she does in the community through First Baptist Church.
We can tell you this, Lori Clark is just the kind of person you love being around, whether that's out in the community or on an everyday basis at work.
We all love working with Lori because she keeps her priorities on the students, which is important, and she always keeps a good balance between working hard and having a great time, and so we're always able to laugh together even while we're working with really difficult situations.
For Lori Clark, it's always been important to give back to the community.
Lori grew up in Carborough. Her family's been in Carborough for several generations, and she lived outside of North Carolina for a little while, but when she came back, her mission was to reinvest in the community.
Thanks to Greg Meyer for the recommendation, but really, this was an easy call. Lori Clark, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand, we promise.
And congratulations to John Paul McClellan of Chapel Hill. Who called in with the word of the day. Haven't heard from John Paul in a while. The word is indefeasible, I-N-D-E-F-E-A-S-I-B-L-E. Indefeasible, it means not capable of being changed or annulled or revised. Indefeasible, I-N-D-E-F-E-A-S-I-B-L-E. John Paul McClellan will get a $10 gift card to Cruisers, and Wayne Pond will have another word for you bright and early tomorrow.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Hair Expressions. It's half off. Hair care services at the salon on West Rosemary Street. Get highlights, a shampoo, and style for only $25, or a shampoo, cut, and style for only $20. and spend only $15 for a men's shampoo, cut and style. Carol Spangler has been creating hairstyles for over 17 years and says she keeps caring until the client says it's right. It's half off from Hair Expressions. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
It's the chocolate extravaganza of the year. Two events, two ways to support anyone journeying with cancer. Join Cornucopia's Chocolate 5K event at UNC on February 15th. Then be part of a chocolate affair on Sunday, February 16th at the Chapel Hill Sheraton. You'll help Cornucopia provide free support services to anyone with cancer, their families, and their friends. For more information, visit us at cancersupport4u.org. Thanks, WCHL, for supporting Cornucopia.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. 57 degrees in Chapel Hill. It's about as warm as it's going to get. Our high today projected to be in the upper 50s, and we're there. Chance for rain is 90% all day. Really wet and soggy out there. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 30s. Tomorrow, rain and drizzle likely, but the high temperature only in the upper 30s tomorrow. Chance of rain still 70% tomorrow and tomorrow night.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Gary Nahn. There is another problem with healthcare.gov. Live now to CBS News correspondent Vicki Barker. Vicki, what's this all about?
First, these dissatisfied customers say the website made big mistakes, charging them too much or steering them to the wrong plan or wrongly denying them coverage. And when they try to do something about it, gridlock. The Washington Post reports tens of thousands of appeals are sitting untouched in a computer, and workers at healthcare.gov helplines admit they can't yet get access to change any records. For now, the only way to appeal is by old-fashioned snail mail. Gary?
More evidence on girls who receive HPV vaccination. Conclusion, it does not lead to promiscuity or engaging in unsafe sex.
In pediatrics, Cincinnati Children's Hospital researcher Dr. Jessica Kahn reports that young women don't initiate sex more often or engage in riskier behaviors more frequently after receiving